Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the view from the opposition. This week it comes from the Molyneux via Alex Dickon, who works down there for Burnham Live. Alex, thank you for popping on to the podcast. How are things down at the Molyneux? Bit of a slow start for Bruno Large's men.
Yeah, a little bit better than last season. They lost all three games last season. They've lost two and drawn one the first three this year, albeit a little bit slightly easier for opening fixtures this time around. Football's been very good, as it was throughout the majority of last season. But again, that old Achilles heel for Wolves, putting the ball in the back of the net. I think they were fourth lowest scorers in the Premier League last season, fifth lowest the season before. So that problem still exists, and they haven't managed to consistently find the net and finish those chances they've been creating. I mean, I just said to you before we came on air that they've got a midfield three now that I think is probably as good as anything outside Man City in the Premier League. They've got a defence that's very solid still. Added to that in Nathan Collins in the summer, looks a fantastic player. They've added to their forward line, but still those old habits of that lack of ruthlessness in attack still exist, and they're struggling to find the goals even against Preston, a Championship team midweek. They had more chances to score more than the two that they did, but couldn't, and that was a very, very nervy one in the end. So until they can get over that, they're probably going to meander along and struggle. Whereas if they could score goals, I mean, they are, you know, they definitely would be challenging for European spots in this league.
That must be so frustrating for Wolves fans to be in that position of creating all these chances, but just not having, you know, that striker to put it away. And from a Newcastle point of view, you know, they have someone who would put chances away, someone like Callum Wilson, but unfortunately he's got a terrible goal scoring record. That's why they've gone out or it looked like they're going to sign Alexander Isak. I mean, goals, Alex, it sounds so stupid to say, but that is the currency in the Premier League, isn't it? That's the key thing, is having someone who can put the ball away.
I mean, that's why they cost so much money, isn't it? I mean, I think at the FIFA, Isak is 58, 59 million. I mean, yeah, that's huge. That's beyond what Wolves can afford to pay for a player like that. So I think he scored six goals in our league last year, which, again, you're paying that sort of cash for someone who scored that many goals. It's like that's the premium for a player like that. But Wolves have obviously got Raul Jimenez. He only scored six goals in the league last year before his injury. You know, he was a 20-goal-a-season man. And, you know, he scored his first goal of the season, his first start in midweek. So Wolves and Bruno Lage are desperately hoping that he can rediscover that form, that goal-scoring form that he had before the injury. I mean, he had a chance to score a second against Preston, but passed it up with a penalty by giving it to Huang, and he missed it. So he needs to stop doing that for starters to get more goals on the board. But they've got other players, you know. They've signed Gonzalo Guedes from Valencia. He scored goals for them last season, so he's got to chip in. Pedro Neto didn't score enough goals for the talent he's got. Adama Traore is another one. He scored an absolute screamer midweek. He needs to score more goals. Daniel Pedence. So they've got players that should be scoring goals in this league. But for whatever reason, they haven't done it. And I think now is the time for these players. If they are going to go and have the careers, particularly the likes of Neto and Pedence, that their talent deserves, then they need to start adding numbers to their game and you know, giving Wolves victories they've deserved in these opening fixtures.
In terms of that centre-forward role now, Jimenez, as you mentioned there, you know, he had a bit of injury problem during the summer. He's back. He played, didn't he, in the League Cup. You've signed, as you mentioned there, Guedes from Valencia, 11 goals last season. Mm. Who do you see starting as the centre-forward on Sunday?
It's an interesting one because Daniel Pedence has been playing as a false nine in the opening weeks of the season. But I honestly think Jimenez will come back into the team now. Bruno Lage wasn't particularly happy that he passed up that penalty, but I don't think he'll keep him out of the team for that. I think he'll put him back in. I think Pedence will probably drop out. I think it'll be a 4-3-3 with Neto and Guedes either side of him. That's probably the first choice front three at the moment. I think Jimenez is so important. He was playing very well in pre-season, to be fair, before he got that injury against Besiktas about a month ago. And yeah, he was looking almost back to his old self, even though, you know, it's pre-season, he's better in front of goal. In his defence, he didn't get an awful lot of chances second half of last season. They weren't creating as many. But at the start of this season, they have at least started creating chances. And hopefully, if they do fall to him, he'll put them away. But I think he does need to kind of develop that ruthless streak again, because, you know, he shouldn't be passing the ball to Wang when he's got the chance to score a second goal in a game and kill a game for a penalty. So, you know, his record from the penalty spot's incredible. So he should have taken that and double tally and got more goals. And that's what we need to see from Jimenez, that ruthless streak come back. I remember a few seasons ago when he scored 26, I think it was, in all comps. You know, he was almost selfish to an extent. And I think Bruno would be quite happy if that came back, because, you know, he'd score more goals and the team would do better.
In terms of Wolves at home, you know, they finished 10th last season, didn't end the season in particularly good form. And given the money as well, you know, that they've spent, you know, Gudez come in, there's other players that have come in. Nunes is another one who, you know, some top teams were after him, and he's not going to be a cheap arrival. Is there a bit of pressure on the manager to start picking up points? And you know, if they do maybe get a battering off Newcastle on Sunday, do you see maybe pressure coming on the manager, or is it too early to start thinking like that?
I mean, it's probably too early, but you've got to look at the fixtures Wolves have got as well. They've had a fairly kind start to the season. Leeds away. I'm not saying these games are easy, because Leeds have just beaten Chelsea 3-0 at home. So, you know, Leeds away, Fulham at home, they probably should have won that. Spurs away is difficult, yes. Newcastle, Bournemouth, Southampton coming after this. After those six fixtures, they've got quite a tricky run. You know, Chelsea, West Ham, Man City, Liverpool coming quite quickly. So they do need to start putting points on the board before you get to those games. Because, you know, if they get 10 games in, and only end up with, say, two wins, then a manager who has been back, to be fair, this summer, they've signed players worth £85 million, three of them. So they're not, you know, they are looking to improve on last season and get towards the top seven. You know, you mentioned that they fell away towards the end of last season. I mean, they finished 10th in a one-horse race for 8th. So, that's probably still lingering. I mean, it is 10 league games without a win for Wolves still. Going back to last season, last April, I think the run started against Newcastle, actually, when they beat them 1-0. So, I don't think there's any pressure on him yet, but I think the next three games, he probably needs two wins just to kind of ease into those fixtures in September, because, that you know, they're a difficult run if Wolves have two wins in 10 games, not looking good.
From a Wolves point of view, when the manager's looking at Newcastle, the fans are looking at Newcastle, what are they seeing? Are they seeing this as a game that Wolves can and should win? I mean, everyone can win any game, but in terms of, is this a game where 3 points is expected from Wolves fans and from the manager as well, do you think?
I think if you look at the 2-11s, I'd say Wolves probably still have the edge. I know Newcastle have signed some good players. They've just about to spend 50-odd million on a striker, so they've obviously got that financial clout now, and Bruno Lage has referred to Newcastle as one of the teams that, you know, coming from below Wolves to challenge, that they need to be wary of in recent press conferences. So Newcastle are a team that I think everyone's kind of expecting over the next 3 or 4 years to start challenging the established order in this country. So I think they probably see it as quite an even game. You know, Newcastle have got quality in midfield, in Bruno, obviously, but I'd still say Wolves midfield's better. I don't know whether Isak will play on Sunday, potentially being the sub, I'd imagine. But again, Wolves have still got a hell of a lot of quality in attack. And the Wolves defence, in my opinion, is probably better than Newcastle. So I'd still say, first 11-wise, Wolves are ahead. But Newcastle have got, you know, the financial muscle to make their squad a very good one, whereas Wolves are almost kind of still, I mean, they've spent money this summer, but they've also recouped a lot of money and could recoup more. So they're still kind of playing that, you know, sell to buy, trading in the market rather than actually being ambitious and spending big.
You mentioned there, you know, moving players on. Can you just explain to our listeners, obviously we're coming from the outside looking in. I was shocked when Connor Cody left Wolves. I couldn't quite believe it. But then when I tweeted something like that out, a few people got back to me and said, oh, well, they're playing three at the back. The formation doesn't really suit him. But I was still shocked that a leader of his calibre has just been allowed to leave. I mean, what's gone on there?
Yeah, so it's an interesting one because Cody, I think he'd started, of the 152 games Wolves have played in the league since being promoted in 2018, Cody had started 151. So, you know, he's been ever present, the captain of the club, massive influence behind the scenes, biggest voice in the dressing room. But it was simply a change of formation. They went to a back four in pre-season. Bruno wanted to bugger to a back four last season when he first joined, but felt he didn't have enough time to implement it. So when they came back this pre-season, he brought them back a week early and completely scrapped the back three in terms of training and went full for a back four. And the key thing for Bruno is, and I watched a training session of his out in Spain when they were on a pre-season training camp, the key thing is the higher defensive line. And he wanted two centre-backs who have the speed and also confidence in their own speed to get back when the ball goes in behind them so they can play that high line. And, you know, I really rate Connor Cody, but he is a specialist in a back three. I probably wouldn't feel confident playing him in the back four the way Wolves are playing now, whereas Nathan Collins and Max Kilman are natural fits and were always going to be his first choice pairing. That's why they went out and spent 20 million on Collins. That position, I mean, Wolves have been looking for a new centre back for four years. And they've only just signed one because, you know, it had to be the perfect player. And Bruno thought Nathan Collins was. So that was part of the reason those two were obviously going to be his first choice. Cody would have probably been third choice. But, you know, Cody's obviously got England to think about. He wants to be in the World Cup squad later this year. So probably had to leave. And because of what he'd done for the club, they were quite content to kind of let him make his own mind up. And that's how it came about.
And the other one I think people have questions about, you know, people especially who don't follow Wolves week in, week out, is Traore. You know, went off to Barcelona on loan last season. He's back. He came off the bench, didn't he, in the last Premier League game. What's gone on there? Because I think people look at him and compare him to Alisson Maximin, someone a bit of a maverick, someone that'll get fans off their seat, and when he's got the ball at his feet, he's just exciting to watch. But again, looking from the outside, it just doesn't seem to have clicked for him in recent months.
Yeah, so I mean, he went to Barcelona, started really well, played there first. I think he started five or six games there straight off to begin with. Was doing well, and then it was almost like Adama was used as a bit of a ploy to get Ousmane Dembele to sign a new contract. And as soon as Dembele came back into favour, Traore was completely frozen out. Obviously frustrated him. Wolves didn't expect him to come back, especially after the start he'd made. They expected Barcelona to take up the option to make it permanent for around 25 million. Wolves have probably messed up, to be honest. You know, alone without, it couldn't include the obligation. So they ended up with him coming back, and he's got a year left on his contract. I think the expectation is that he'll now just run it down and leave on a free next summer. Again, the financials will affect the owners, but it's got nothing to do with Bruno Lage. He's quite happy to have Traore, who's a massive, massive weapon in this league, back at his disposal. So he's put him straight back into the squad. There are other players he's kind of frozen out, the likes of Patrick Cotroni, who doesn't want, but Traore likes him. He really, really enjoys working with him, so he's brought him back in. He didn't want him to leave in January. He's more of a, to be fair, Bruno has used him more as a sub. And I think he'll probably use him as a sub against Newcastle as well, even though he scored an absolute belter and played really well in the week as a starter. So he's, you know, he is what he is on his days. He's one of the most devastating players in the Premier League. You know, he can win games by himself, and he has done in the past. He's not quite the player he was in 2020 for Wolves, where he was completely unplayable 4 or 5 months of that season. One of the best players in the league, in my opinion, in 2019-20. There is the contract situation. It's lingering around in the background. Everyone knows he's not going to be here long term. So it's one of those kind of seeing what happens. But yeah, he's an asset for Wolves, but he's not been as effective as he was previously. But again, you know, if Wolves are 1-0 down against Newcastle on Sunday after 60 minutes, you know, he's going to be the first player that comes on.
Yeah, it's not a bad player to be able to bring off the bench, is it? In terms of the player then that will start for Wolves on Sunday, who is the one player that Newcastle just have to keep quiet if they want to get 3 points?
There's a few of them now, to be fair. I've only seen twice for Wolves, Mateus Nunes. Watched him when Wolves played Sporting in pre-season as well, at the end of July, and he bossed that game in the second half. But yeah, he looks a top player, but still, as things stand, Ruben Neves is still the man that makes Wolves tick. captain of the team as well after Cody left. So he's the player that, that Newcastle needs to stop. And if we remember back to the game in April when Newcastle beat Wolves, Neves was one of the players who was missing. And I honestly believe that if Neves had played, hadn't got the injury he did against Leeds that night, then Wolves would probably have finished inside the European place. He was playing that well towards the end of last season. You know, missing him for a month or 5 weeks was just too much to handle. I think Wolves played with Moutinho and Kundal in midfield that night. I mean, that was a big issue. So yeah, Ruben Neves is still the guy that makes Wolves tick. And it's strange that he's still here, because we kind of go into every summer transfer window expecting him to leave. But at the start of this summer, I remember speaking to someone, I was literally just thinking, I don't think there's a market for him. Because a player of that type is so specialist that, you know, clubs don't really want to spend, like, you know, the 50, 60, 70 million to make it happen. Barcelona have had a long-standing interest in him, but why would they not just wait till next summer when he's got potentially a year left on his contract and probably get him a bit cheaper? So that's probably what they're going to do. But yeah, Neves, while he's at Wolves, that no one was expecting to be here. So probably should enjoy him for another season. He's into his sixth season now in Wolves. And yeah, he's still the main man in this team.
Top player. I enjoy watching him. In terms of a weakness in Wolves, what is the best thing, do you think, for Newcastle to target?
That's a good one. The weakness in Wolves is all of their own doing. They don't score goals. So if Newcastle do score first, then it's very, very difficult for Wolves to come back into it, especially if they're compact and can defend well. As far as weakness goes, you know, there is space in behind Wolves now with the high line they're playing. You know, Saint-Maximin is probably going to come up against Semedo, I'd imagine, in the game on Sunday. He's not started a Premier League game this season because he had an injury going into the season, missed most of pre-season as well, didn't play any of the pre-season fixtures. So I suppose that will be a very interesting battle, because I know our boy played against Man City last weekend as I watched the game. So yeah, Saint-Maximin's always the player you look for when you play against Newcastle, kind of nullifying his threat. And Semedo's had a few good battles with him in the past. So that's going to be an interesting area. If Semedo does come into the team, how does he handle Saint-Maximin? Semedo was fantastic for Wolves last season, to be fair, before he got the injury. So yeah, that's probably a key battle. I mean, in a first Premier League start of the season, having just come back from hamstring injury, the last player you want to come up against is Saint-Maximin. So yeah, I'm probably talking him out of a start now, to be fair.
I was impressed with Semedo, though. He came on, didn't he, against Spurs, I think.
Yeah,
it was the last game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was watching that on BT, wasn't it? And I was impressed. He was getting down the line. He was, you know, he looked very solid.
He's a class player.
Yeah, be an interesting battle if he does indeed start. In terms of stopping Newcastle, then, you know, Eddie Howe has made it clear he wants to see Newcastle impose themselves more on the opposition, but I would still say that their biggest threat is hitting teams on the counter, you know, against Manchester City, you know, and then we're talking Manchester City, one of the best teams in the world, if not the best team in the world. And at times they could not handle Newcastle hitting them on the counter with the speed and the precision. How are Wolves going to deal with that, if that is indeed Newcastle's main threat?
I mean, to be fair, I expect this game to play out like that almost. Wolves will probably want to have more of the ball. In the past, we've seen Wolves more of a counter-attacking side, probably the best in the league at it in the past few seasons. But I expect them to want more of the ball. With the midfield three, they've got Matheus Nunes, Ruben Neves, Jean Moutinho. But again, you know, they've got to be mindful of those counter-attacks. Man City obviously had Rodri in that holding midfield role to protect the two centre-backs and, you know, block those counter-attacks. And Ruben Neves is the guy that's going to have to do that for Wolves. He has, to be fair, developed his game an awful lot defensively over the last few seasons, especially last season. He became very good at it. And he'll have to sit in between the two centre-backs and watch that. But like, I want to speak about those two centre-backs because they are, you know, they're top players, Nathan Collins and Max Kilman. You know, Wolves have probably got a £100 million defensive pair on their hands there. In a couple of years, Kilman's already, you know, I think he's 24 now. He's absolutely superb, probably the best defender in the team last season. I know Newcastle fans think that Dan Burn might be in the England team, might be in the England squad, or should be in the England squad, but Max Kilman, I'm gobsmacked that he's not been put in there yet. Especially when, you know, Connor Cody's selecting, I've seen the two together. It's clear that Max Kilman, you know, he's better and has the higher ceiling. So yeah, Nathan Collins has just turned 21, and to be fair, he's been fantastic in his first few games for Wolves. So yeah, those two are going to be, you know, charged with blocking those Newcastle United attacks and counter attacks. And to be fair, I'd back them to do it because they've been made a really good start to the season already. They've struck up a great understanding.
Well, slightly they'll be battling up against Chris Wood, who's a totally different player to Callum Wilson. Such a shame that Callum Wilson just can't keep fit. And I know Newcastle are close to signing Isak, but I don't think they'll get him registered in time to play against Wolves on Sunday. And even if they do, Eddie Howe has a tendency to play new signings from the bench and try and bed them in. So it's looking like it'll be Chris Wood. He scored in midweek against Tranmere, good header. But, you know, Newcastle's style of play just doesn't suit him. They don't tend to get balls into the box. And I imagine even if they did do, that is probably the bread and butter of the Wolves defence, just to get up and just clear the crosses away.
Yeah, especially Collins. He's fantastic in the air. Kilman as well. They're both, I think, 6'4", 6'5", so they're big guys. Also very mobile, good on the ball. But yeah, I don't want to speak really about Chris Wood because he does have a tendency to score against Wolves. A few years ago, he got a hat-trick for Burnley against Wolves. And he does always score against them. I think he scored the goal last season as well, didn't he? So
yeah, and I think you said exactly the same the last time he won. Actually, no, keep seeing it, and he's gonna score. That's what
it always happens, so I don't want to shoot myself in the foot or Wolves. So I don't want to speak about Chris Wood.
Well, what we'll do is we'll finish, as always, with the score predictions then. Alex, how do you think this one's going to go?
I'm gonna go 2-1 Wolves. I think they beat them 2-1 last season while at home. So I'll go with that again. I don't think they'll quite have enough to keep Newcastle at bay. Newcastle will get a goal. But it's about time this Wolves team start scoring goals. They've got the players to do it, and they just need to start finishing those chances.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a win. Me and John Gibson did on the Newcastle United preview. I'm going to go for a win. Score-wise, I can't see it having too many goals in it. Maybe 1-0 win. I'm not overly confident there'll be a bucket load of goals. But hopefully an entertaining game. And from Newcastle's point of view, hopefully they get all 3 points. Alex, thank you as always for popping on to Everything is Black and White podcast. To you guys listening, please remember to like and follow the podcast through your podcast provider. And head over to chroniclelive.co.uk to keep up to date with all the latest Newcastle United news.